Does thinking about the world's problems leave you hopeless? Are you tired of feeling like there's nothing we can do? Well, you're in the right place, because this is the official Building a Better World podcast. And now, here's your host, co-author of Building a Better World in Your Backyard, Instead of Being Angry at Bad Guys, Sean Clausen Coop.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 17 of the Building a Better World podcast. My name is Sean Clausen Coop. And in the last episode, I talked about lawn care and how if we want to have lawns, there are ways in which we can have them that require much less work and much less input and are better for the environment overall and save us money, save us time. In this episode, I'm going to talk about honeybees and I'm going to talk about colony collapse disorder, which is a big issue of our time and how it's affecting our pollinators, which affect our food crops, and how the solutions are actually rather simple, and that we can solve this problem pretty easily, no problem. Before I get into that, just want to thank everyone who has shared this podcast with a friend, or an acquaintance, or even a random stranger. I appreciate you doing that. I hope that the ideas that they are hearing are helping them as well, and that we're all building a better world together. So getting into today's topic, the backstory behind colony collapse disorder is that in 2006, beekeepers started reporting that their bees were disappearing en masse. And they would go and check on hives and they would just find hives entirely empty, not even filled with dead bees, just empty. And the reports coming in were that the losses were as high as 40% of colonies. Some later reports even suggested as high as 80%, which is ridiculous to think about that percentage of hives for some beekeepers just being entirely wiped out. And there's been a lot of speculation as to what the cause of this is. Some people are saying it's a new virus, maybe a fungus, or maybe some other thing. I'm of the opinion that it isn't just one problem that is causing the bees to disappear. I think that more than that, the problem is that there are just too many things affecting them. So if you think about the bees are having poison inside their hives to keep mites out, and then they're leaving the hives, some of them, and experiencing poison in the field, and then you have their hives being disturbed by humans all the time. And you have all sorts of stressors that are being added up, and I think all of these things just add up to be way too much for them to handle. And so instead of one cause and just removing one thing, I think we need to totally change the way that we raise our bees and care for bees, is even a better way to say it. And I think the main solution, to sum it up in four words, is stop stressing the bees. Conventional beekeepers are losing about 40% of their hives in a year, which, again, is just absurd. Apparently, organic beekeepers are losing about 10%. So 40 versus 10 is already a huge difference. And then people who go beyond organic treatment to what's called treatment-free beekeeping, they lose almost none. And so I think that there's clearly some things that we can do here to solve this problem, because some people already are. And so in our book, we provide 17 suggestions for healthy bee colonies. And I was thinking about how am I going to summarize these 17 suggestions in a way that'll fit into this podcast episode without reading from the book. Because in the book, we tried to make it really concise. And I came to the conclusion that I can't outdo the book because we spent way more time on that than I am recording this podcast episode. And so once again, I'm going to give you an excerpt from our audiobook so you can hear the words as they're written in the book. And this one will be a bit longer than usual because we got to go through 17 different suggestions. And so I'm going to stop here and allow Michael Haytack's narration of our audiobook, Building a Better World in Your Backyard, to start.
My suggestions for healthy bee colonies. 1. When a colony is struggling, the conventional beekeeper looks to attack and kill the problem. Most problems are an aspect of nature working as it is supposed to. Focus on long-term natural bee health instead of attack and kill. 2. Bees get mites. Conventional beekeepers use poison in the hives in the hopes of killing more mites than bees. Many treatment-free beekeepers have proven techniques that show that the stress of a few mites is far less than the stress of these poisons. 3. Do not buy conventional packaged bees. These bees are bred for scale and not for strong genetics, and they are often dependent on chemical defenses instead of natural defenses. Catching a local feral bee swarm will bring you bees that are naturally strong for your local conditions. 4. Conventional beekeepers force a larval cell size that leads to larger or smaller bees, thus contrary to their natural size, by using pre-made plastic foundation. Allow bees to pick their own cell size. 5. Weak colonies dependent on medications or unable to defend themselves against predators must be allowed to die out, thus improving the gene pool. 6. Migratory beekeepers chase bloom and move their hives thousands of miles every year. Keep hives in a fixed location year-round. 7. Conventional beekeepers take nearly all the honey and feed sugar water to the bees. Bees are designed to eat their own nutritious honey, not sugar water. Take less and allow the bees to eat their own honey. 8. Plant lots of three-season nectar forage so the bees don't have to travel more than a few hundred feet for food, rather than several miles for more conventional approaches. 9. Keep hives 100 yards or more apart. In nature, colonies live great distances apart. This reduces the need to compete for nearby food and prevents bees from drifting into other colonies and spreading pests and diseases. 10. Strong, healthy plants grown in polyculture have richer, higher quality nectar. Feed bees polyculture blossoms. 11. Stop using insecticides on crops. Bees are insects. 12. Raising hives off the ground like natural hives reduces moisture problems in the hive. The higher, the better. 13. Sheltered hives, sometimes called bee huts, reduce bee stress and help keep the hive warmer in winter. 14. Colonies that live in hollow tree trunks with 3 to 4 inch thick walls are stronger because they can better control their own temperature and moisture. Build thick-walled hives instead of scrawny conventional hive boxes. 15. Mold is like the kiss of death for bees. If something is moldy, throw it away and replace it. 16. Conventional beekeepers open their hives for inspection weekly or biweekly. Bees in a proper home do best when they control their own environment with little or zero intervention. 17. Use organic or better practices in everything you do because it all comes back to the bees.
All right, so there are 17 suggestions for how we can take better care of bees and pretty much eliminate colony collapse disorder by working with the bees and what they want and their natural tendencies instead of trying to force them to do what, you know, is against their nature. I want to thank Jacqueline Freeman, who wrote the book Song of Increase. She wrote a book all about this stuff, and she helped us polish our chapter, which you just heard some of. So just want to thank her again for her input and the work that she does to teach people about caring for bees better. I think that if we would implement the ideas that we presented in this chapter, it would take maybe a couple years for genetics to sort themselves out, as it always does. And then after that, we could have near zero colony loss, and our overall stability of our food production and our pollination would be so much better. Not to mention all of the other spin-off side effects that implementing these techniques would have. So I'm going to leave it there for today. These ideas that we applied towards beekeeping also apply a lot towards other methods of animal care. And so that was one of the things we did in this book, is we said, look, we're trying to work with the bees and how their nature is. And you can apply these ideas to any other animals that you might be caring for. And in the next episode, I want to talk about the idea of pampered animals. And so if we're going to have animals, and I talked earlier about how they can be extremely beneficial, and I'll do that again in the next episode, how can we take care of them in a way that is so awesome that they are pampered and give us amazing benefits at the same time? So that's it for today. Again, in this episode, I included an excerpt from our audiobook. If you're interested, you can check it out at buildingabetterworldbook.com/audible. That'll send you straight there, and then they'll know that I sent you. So if you want to check it out, head out to buildingabetterworldbook.com/audible, and you can check out more of the audiobook that I gave you a sneak peek of in this episode. That's all for today. I hope you have a great day. Thanks again for listening, and hope to see you in the next episode. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about building a better world in your backyard, saving money, and living a more luxuriant life, all without being angry at bad guys, please visit buildingabetterworldbook.com.